All right, we're going to get started this evening. So we're going to continue on in our study of Christ's high priestly prayer from John 17. And so if you have your Bible with you this evening, and I hope you do, please turn there. Just so you remember, I've titled this message, or these series of messages, that the Son may glorify you, because this whole prayer of Christ is structured around three ways that Jesus plans to glorify his Father here on earth, and that is through his cross, his companions, that is his 11 faithful disciples, and his church. We've already looked at Jesus' plan to glorify his Father through the cross, and tonight we're going to finish up looking at Jesus' plan to glorify his Father through his companions. See, Jesus knew that he was going to depart after accomplishing his redemptive work here on earth. And so in advance of his departure, he prays for his 11 faithful disciples that they would be divinely equipped for whatever lay ahead. And as Jesus intercedes for them, he gives us a rare glimpse into how he's interceding for us, even right now, tonight. And Jesus prays for four primary things, and we've already looked at the first three. Jesus prays first for our sustained preservation through holiness. We saw that in verse 11 when Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep them in your name." Second, Jesus prays for our supreme pleasure in God. We saw that in verse 13, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And then third, Jesus prays for our spiritual protection amid evil. And we saw that in verse 15, where Jesus prays that we would be kept from the evil one. And so Jesus has prayed for our sustained preservation through holiness, for our supreme pleasure in God, and for our spiritual protection amid evil. Tonight we're going to study and see how Jesus prays, fourth and finally, for our sanctified purity by Scripture. This is going to be from verses 16 through 19 of John 17 as the final request that Jesus offers up to his Father for his disciples before he shifts his focus in the rest of this prayer directly towards his church, those who would believe through the apostles' word. And so with that in mind, let's read John 17, verses 10 through 19. John records for us the words of Jesus, where he says, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Verse 16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have before we engage in prayer to have our hearts quickened by the prayer of Christ. We thank you for the truths that are laid out for us here in John 17. And we thank you for how we are reminded of how Christ is interceding for us right now, even as we are praying to you. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit that you have given to us, we pray that he would lead us on right paths this evening and help us to understand your word. Father, help us to see the heart that Christ has for you and for us. And Father, I pray that you would work in us so that we would give ourselves to that which sanctifies us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Jesus considers the needs that his 11 faithful companions and us will have after he departs, Jesus finishes this section by praying for our sanctified purity through Scripture, which is verses 16 through 19. And I want you to remember what Jesus wanted and what Jesus prayed for at the very beginning when it came to his disciples, and that was his holiness. As he prayed in verse 11, "Holy Father, keep them in your name." So Jesus started all of this by praying for our sustained preservation through holiness, where here we see that we've come full circle, because Jesus now starts to pray in verse 16 for how the Father will keep us and how he will make us holy. And he starts in verse 16 by grounding this request in our identity as believers. As he states in verse 16, he says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Here, Jesus reiterates the truth that he's already said back in verse 14, that we are not of this world, just as he is not of this world. See, even though Jesus came into this world, Jesus did not belong to this world. He did not belong to or find himself in agreement at any time with this present world's system. He was holy. He was separate. He was set apart. And Jesus is saying here, so are we. We are holy. We are separate. We are set apart. As Jesus elucidated, on already back in verse 6 and on, he has said that we have been set apart and chosen to be love gifts given from the Father to the Son and then back again. And so in that sense, we are already holy. We've already been sanctified or set apart by God, as Acts 20:32 and Hebrews 10:10 makes clear. But the issue is, how can our new holy, sanctified nature be reflected by our lifestyle? Because Jesus never had a problem with this. To use the same expressions, he was both positionally and practically holy. But we cannot say the same thing. Even though we have been declared holy and righteous by God through faith in Jesus Christ, I hope all of us would readily admit that we do not demonstrate that holiness and righteousness in our everyday lives as clearly as we ought to. And so the issue is, how does this positional holiness become a practical reality that can be seen, lived, and experienced in our lives for the glory of God in this world? Well, that brings us to verse 17, where Jesus prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." That is a powerful prayer. Jesus prays first that we would be sanctified, that we would become more holy, more godly, more pure in mind and heart and soul, more set apart for God's glory in this world, that we would become more like our Holy Father who is in heaven, as he expressed back in verse 11. This is what Jesus prays for every single one of his disciples, which is why every true disciple of Jesus Christ will be advancing in grace and growing in holiness and in Christ-likeness. It is because Jesus prays for this very thing. And as Jesus says in John 11:42, the Father always hears his prayers. Now, this doesn't mean that there won't be seasons when we backslide. This doesn't mean that there won't be moments when we trip and fall. Even Peter experienced that. But a true believer never reverses course and goes back to what they were before they came to Jesus. No, they progress in their sanctification. They grow in their holiness. Because over and under and behind all of our meager efforts in this Christian life, there always lies this fact, that God has heard the prayer of his Son, and he's going to answer it. He is going to keep moving you forward in your pursuit of holiness. And what is the one primary tool and the one primary instrument that God uses to keep moving his people forward in sanctifying them? The answer is the truth of his word. As Jesus says here, he says, "Sanctify them how?" What does he say? In the truth. Your word is truth. Here we see in plain language how critical the Bible is to our Christian growth. It is the fertilizer for our sanctification. We can grow no further into the image of Christ than the degree to which his word is being put into us. Sanctification does not just happen. God always uses a tool, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 9 and 11 states, "How shall a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." And then he says in verse 11, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So God grows us and he changes us and he makes us and molds us. God sanctifies us and he makes us more like Jesus preeminently by his word of grace. It's preeminently by his word of grace. And that's why it's so important for us as the redeemed to be heeding, handling, hiding, and holding forth the word of God on a daily basis. It's so that the word of God can constantly be purifying us. as Ephesians 5:26 describes, that he might sanctify us, having cleansed us, how? By the washing of water with the word. With the word. So, this is one practical way to think about this. As often as you would take a physical shower, which I hope is often, you ought to shower in the cleansing flow of God's word. The defilements of this world that we are called to live in can cling to us so easily and so quickly. And so if we want to be growing in holiness, then we must be in God's word for ourselves. You will not progress in your Christian growth beyond your intake of God's word. And then I can't help but point this out. Notice what Jesus says at the end of verse 17. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus doesn't say that his word merely contains truth or that it merely reflects truth. He says that God's word is truth. See, some professing Christians try to argue the Bible isn't really true, only certain parts of it all are. But listen, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says your word is truth. You don't have to look for truth when you open up God's word. Open it up anywhere and you will find it. Absolute, accurate, understandable, sufficient, inerrant, infallible truth directly from the mouth of God. And so if we want to be holy, then we must be in God's word for ourselves. We must simply let the word of God do its work within us. And here's why that's so important. So here's why it's so important that Jesus prays for us to be sanctified in the truth. Because he says in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. Now Jesus has already said back in, Jesus is going to say in the next chapter in John 18 verse 37, for this purpose I was born and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth so that everyone who is of the truth will listen to my voice. So that was why Jesus was sent into this world. He was sent into this world to bear witness to the truth. Well, guess why we're still in this world? It's to bear witness to the truth as well. See, everything that we do as believers, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, will be done better in heaven and for eternity. We're going to be way more unified than we are now. We're going to be way more holy and way more loving. We're going to have better fellowship. We're going to have better worship. We're going to have better service. All of these things are going to be done better someday. So then why in the world am I still here? I'm convinced we're still here because there is one thing that we can do better on earth than we can do in heaven, and that's evangelism. That is talking to those who do not know Jesus Christ about the glories of God. Bearing witness to the truth before the world. That is only something that we can do here and now. And that's why Jesus was sent into this world, and that's why he has sent us. It's to bear witness to the truth, not only by our words, but tying into what Jesus is saying here, bearing witness to the truth by our holy and transformed lives as well. That Jesus is real, and that he does save his people from their sins. And this is such an important mission that he's given us that Jesus says this in verse 19 to climax this second section of his prayer. He says in verse 19, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is how fervently Jesus desired the sanctification and holiness of his people for the glory of God here on earth. He consecrated himself unto death for it. He did it all so that we would be sanctified in truth. As Hebrews 13:12 states, Jesus also suffered outside the gate. Why? In order to sanctify the people through his own blood. See, here we see that Jesus' plan to glorify his Father through his cross is intimately connected with his plan to glorify his Father through his companions. For it is through his cross that Christ's companions will become sanctified in the truth and give glory to their Father who is in heaven. And this is a glorious thought that when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he cancel the record of debt and guilt and sin that stood against us, but he also accomplished a redemptive work so powerful that it absolutely guarantees the sanctification of everyone who trusts in him. That is what Christ is saying. Don't minimize the gospel. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Why? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His stripes we've been healed. Yes, Jesus has forgiven us of all of our sins, but there is way more to the death of Christ than simply the canceling of our sin debt. When He died, as Romans 6 tells us, we died to our old way of life. And when He rose from the dead, we rose to walk in a newness of life with Him as well. No one is ever saved to remain who they are. That's impossible, because there is sanctifying power in the death of Jesus Christ, and He consecrated Himself to that end. As Titus 2:14 states, Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. Why? To redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Jesus set Himself apart to do God's will so that we would be set apart to do God's will also and to bear witness to the truth that is sanctifying us daily. So this is the fourth way that Christ prays for His companions and for us, for our sanctified purity through Scripture. And there are so many applications that I could take from this. I just want to, for the sake of our prayer time, just give two. First, in light of Christ praying for our sanctified purity through Scripture, first, let us rejoice. Because Christ has prayed for us, we can have confidence that all who truly rely on Christ will keep His word and become more like Him unto glory. So let us rejoice. Our sanctification, though it is something that we fight for every day, we fight for it in light of the victory that Christ has already won and guaranteed both by His work and by His prayers. And so let us rejoice, knowing that this has already been won. And then second, let us redouble our efforts. Not only let us rejoice, but let's redouble our efforts. Because if Christ died to make us holy by His word, let us not neglect it. If Christ has died to make us holy by His word, let us not neglect it one single day. Let us give ourselves to it in light of He who gave Himself for us, that we might glorify His Father here on earth, as He desires.